when we die, we don't have pockets. We're not taking our things that we accumulated, our portfolios, our bank accounts, the credentials we earned, you know, that all goes away. The only thing that survives is love. And in that love is our worth. Okay. And our worth is not based on anything external. It's based on the amount of light we held.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Chatting with Candace. I'm your host, Candace Horback. Before we go into this week's episode, if you have not hit that like and subscribe, please do so. It helps me with the algorithm. And wonderful news, everybody. We have been charting at the time of this recording. We are charting in Canada and in the US. And I'm not talking about in our category, people. I'm talking about out of all podcasts. And I could not do it without all of you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I so appreciate this. This is a passion project of mine. So it's really cool to see it taking off after a couple years of really grinding it out. So yeah, there's that. We're going to link some affiliates and sponsors below. So if you want to support the podcast, you can make some purchases of products and programs that I've actually used, or you can go to chattingwithcandace.com and click either the link that says buy me a coffee or Patreon. Get early access to episodes, sneak peeks at upcoming guests, get to ask some questions. So that's a really cool interactive platform. This week, we have Rebecca Rosen joining the podcast. She is a medium, a best-selling author. Her latest book is What's Your Heaven? She's also the host of the Small Medium at Large podcast. This podcast is going to blow your mind. It's very woo, so if that's not something you're into, just know that before you continue on, but it's incredible. We start the podcast off with a reading of yours truly, and I kind of sprung it on to her last minute. There were some really cool insights, things that there's no way she could have possibly have known. And yeah, let's just jump into it. Just buckle up because we're about to get spiritual. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited for this. Anytime I get to kind of dig into the woo or anything spiritual, I just get so energized. It is the thing that I am the most curious about and the most alive about right now in my life. So I'm so excited to see where this goes.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's so great to be here. And I love how open you are, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'd be happy to tell you what I'm getting if you're open.
Yeah. So for everyone who's just tuning in, we discussed before we hit record that I was curious if she would be comfortable doing some kind of a reading or just tuning in. So I'm about to find out with all of you. So yes, please share.
Yeah. So, you know, right when I saw you, there was a very strong guide. And right now, if you notice the technology, do you see how the screen is getting a little bit fuzzy? That's energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's usually because you have strong spirits around you, but your energy is very strong, high vibrational. This guide, it's an angel. When I see the colors, okay, versus like a form of a human, it's a very high angelic guide. It's a purple violet color, okay? And they're showing me that you are here to help others, almost like a networker. So you bring people together and you connect them, whether it's with other people or with the resources or tools that they need. So the guide's applauding you because you're showing up and doing your work. There's either a father who passed on or someone who's like a dad to you. And he's standing here, and that would either be, again, like a grandfather, a father figure of some sort. And he's very strong. He was very spiritual, but maybe didn't necessarily like talk about all of this in life. And did you know your maternal grandparents? Because that's where they're taking me. So mom's side of the family.
I know my mom's mom. I never met her dad.
Okay. So what about her, and both of them passed away, correct?
Just the dad.
Okay. That's the dad that's here. And then wow. Yeah. So that grandfather who you didn't know on a human level, but on a soul level, he's part of your soul family. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what he's showing me is that something about heart. So there was either heart issues or there's hereditary heart stuff in this family. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. So my dad's dad died of a heart attack. So
I wonder if that's who this is.
But my mom's dad died, like, it was kind of like a mysterious death. Like,
let me get some evidence here. Like, who are you? Give me a name. Okay, so they're showing me R as in Robert, RJJR. Do you have any clue?
That's my mom's dad, yeah.
Yeah, that's him. Wow. Okay, so he's really one of your guides. And there was heart stuff is what he's saying. So if there's your answer, I'm wondering what this was. He's a very capable, strong guide, meaning he's evolved enough. He knows what he's doing. He's saying you are very self-sufficient and you don't always remember to ask for help. And if your life could be that much easier if you just invited in divine intervention. And he's telling you, are you currently either recently engaged or in a new relationship?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Are you currently in a relationship?
Married.
Married. Okay. So something about the ring on the finger. And when I see that, it's either we're talking about your marriage or it's literally you have someone's ring that is significant.
See, this is so weird. I feel like it's my dad's dad because the heart thing, and then I have this ring, and I don't have things that I really that are sentimental to me. Like there's very few things, and one of them is this really old ring that my grandmother had given me, and it is like one of the things I treasure the most.
So what's going on is he is here. I'm asking and I'm saying, is this paternal grandfather? Is this the grandparents on that side? I got a yes. But if I also got the JRRJ, then that means that grandfather's there too.
Yeah, that's okay? So interesting.
Now, let me keep going into this. What they want me to tell you is something about the ring and connected to that side of the family. And you, it's all three of them. Okay, so hold on one second. Who's H? So H, first H. or last initial?
So H would be my husband's side. First initial.
So who would be HR? So did he have a father figure who is an H, first or last initial he was close to? And what's with the changing jobs or it's expansion? It's your husband. So is he changing jobs? Is he getting promoted? Did this recently happen?
So he's like a serial entrepreneur investor. So I feel like he's always changing jobs. Exactly. Like by lunch, he's doing something else.
Okay. Yes. Well, what does this tell you is encourage him to start. It's like think bigger and step up and into something bigger and new. Okay. So he might say, I'm getting antsy. I'm getting bored. It's time to recreate. Or all he knows, it's not a risk. It's an opportunity. And D is in David. Do we know who this is? Who's D connected to him? So you're going to have to write that down and ask him. Okay. Did he have an uncle who died relatively young? There's a younger father figure, unless it was a grandfather who died pretty young, like 40s. All I know is he's a guide and he's connected to H. CH. CH are my husband's initials. That's what I'm seeing right now. Who would be CH? Is that your husband?
So CH are my now initials.
It's you.
My husband's dad's name is Charles. Like that is like a family name. So that could be CH. And then also Horback is the last name. So Charles Horback, CH.
Okay. That's where we're going. It's the CH Charles Horback. Now, do you know if there's one who passed on?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that would be referencing his father.
Yeah. His brother's still alive.
So I would find out if, because my sense is this is the grandfather off his dad's side, and he's probably the one, yes, they're saying yes, so he's the one giving the guidance on career stuff on purpose for your husband.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They don't want you guys moving, and I don't know if there's been this talk about a move or don't tell me.
Whoa, I just got goosebumps. Yes, we've been talking about moving.
They're saying it's not the right time. You're onto something, but you're intuitively ahead of time.
Okay.
And they're also saying, I see, do you have two kids with him?
Yes.
that's perfect. I see it's complete. I wouldn't push for another. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a good balance. And I'm seeing your kids are pretty evolved. I always say our kids choose us, right? Mm-hmm. We choose our parents. I agree. And do you have a boy and a girl?
Two boys.
Okay. One of them is really sensitive, and that's the female energy.
Yes.
And he's more intuitive, empathic, and he's probably going to be your little messenger and say things to you that are wise beyond his years. So yeah, just keep your ears open. Did you guys get them a dog?
No, we have two dogs though.
Okay, you have a dog. One of the dogs is the protector of that more sensitive son. Okay?
Yes.
Yep. So I always say animals are like angels, and this dog is here. It's almost like to keep his energy really open, but yet protect him from anything negative, lower vibrational from coming around him.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just saw riding a bike. I don't know if this is like a new thing. I don't know how old your kids are, but is one of them riding a bike?
We're in the process of trying to teach him how to ride a bike. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. And they're showing me he's safe and that you're showing up and they're proud of you. Your grandma, she's standing here. Who's M, like Mary, Mimi, M name?
M name.
Yeah. And then somebody had lung issues, like lung cancer, lung, can't breathe, emphysema, COPD.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's so hard because our family is just like so disconnected.
Okay. So I'm just going to put this out there. There's another woman here right now showing me upper respiratory lung stuff. And she's, talking about your mom. So this would most likely be connected on that side. It could be your mother's grandmother. What I'm seeing is mom is living, true?
Yes.
You are not to worry about her. And this might be like you're always kind of feeling like you might be worrying or playing mom to mom. Mm-hmm. And they're saying this is her job, not yours. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that grandma alive? Your mom's mom?
Yes.
Do you know if she has lung upper respiratory stuff going on?
No one talks to her. So like she's estranged.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm just going to leave that then. We won't go there. Mm-hmm. Were you guys recently planting stuff in your yard? Planting,
yeah, always. Trees,
planting flowers. They love when you do this with your kids. And I'm going to go back to the angel. So this purple angel guide is showing me you're ready to evolve to a new level with your work here. Mm-hmm. And you have opportunities. And they're telling you don't limit yourself. Like you can, as long as you have balance, you're good. So it's like working part-time, being mom part-time, full-time. don't limit yourself. Don't put the brakes on because on a mind level, you don't know if you can manage it all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you writing a book? Did you write a book?
No.
Okay, writing is what they're encouraging you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's maybe taking all the wisdom you've gathered and start journaling about it. It could naturally evolve into something that you publish. Mm. Buddha, are you spiritual over religious?
Yes. Very spiritual. Yes.
We want you to keep following your connection to something bigger, source energy, God, whatever you want to call it. And what I see is that spiritual path is exactly where you need to be. You're right where you need to be. Feathers are coming up. I don't know if you keep finding feathers or sometimes this goes hand in hand with birds as a sign. Okay. So it's like giving, that's the grandma. That's the grandma we mentioned earlier. Who is the R initial grandfather? Is that Robert?
Mm-hmm.
His name is Robert.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of your main guides along with that purple angel guide. Okay.
Okay.
And then we do have the grandmother and grandfather off your dad's side, and they're like your cheerleaders. So it's called what I call it a team spirit. Okay. It's made up of all sorts of different levels of loved ones, guides, angels, and they want you to use them more. So it's like sometimes forgetting to invite in this information or this wisdom. And I'm seeing when you go to bed at night, you're a vivid dreamer, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Because that's the easiest way for them to download intuitive insight.
Mm.
So when you go to bed and you're like, I don't know what to do, or I need more information or guidance, pray about it. Ask spirit to show you. And then when you wake up, take note of what you remember. Okay. Happy birthday. Who has a birthday? Like
my youngest is turning one.
Yeah. So they're showing me the birthday celebration that they're celebrating alongside you. You might be back and forth. Like, should we do a party or should we celebrate? They're saying like, do something, or acknowledging you just did something. Hold on. They're saying cookie. I'm seeing cookie monster, but they're saying with who's the cookie person?
The cookie person?
Cookies.
That's a tough one. It's either my oldest or my husband. One or the other.
Love cookies.
Yeah. Both of them.
They're teasing about the Cookie Monster. And I don't know, but I would just say they're, you know what they're doing? They're trying to give you evidence that they're peeking in on your life, the little things, the big things. And they're trying to comfort you so that they're watching, they're listening, they're available to help you. Is there anything else she needs to hear? There's a younger guy who died. I really believe it was an accident, but I sensed him earlier. He either died by, it's his own choices that caught up with him. It's like accidental overdose or alcoholism. Do you know who this is? Is this a friend?
So is it not of me personally, but my husband actually just lost a friend recently.
That's your husband's friend. And okay. When I said, did your husband have an uncle who died younger? I think that's who this was. Okay. Because he's hovering and he's making me feel, okay, hold on. He's not a D, is he?
So unfortunately, my husband lost a couple of friends. The more recent one, his name was Andy.
Andy.
Yeah.
It's Andy.
Oh my God. I have had goosebumps this whole time. Like, yeah. Ferociously strong.
So D earlier was Andy. And what he's trying to say is he's okay, but he has a lot of regret. And it's like, I recognize now the choices I made out of alignment got me here, but I'm okay. And either he's messing with your husband's, like, I feel like I'm in the car and my phone won't hook up. My Bluetooth's not working. Sometimes technology, you know, little blips happen, but this is one of those, you can't explain it. And then the song comes on the radio and it reminds you of Andy. And all I know is he's messing with electronics and I see him in the car and he's trying to give signs to let your husband know he's okay and that he's near. And so I would share that with him, but that there's also M like Michael. So Michael might be another spirit who passed or a friend, a mutual friend connected to your husband and Andy. Okay.
And Michael's younger?
I don't know age. Yeah. My sense is like husband, like not a grandpa. Yes.
Okay.
And is there a joke about like somebody has a dog that looks like a pig or like a bulldog or like the face?
We have this older dog and we always equate her to like some like ruminant animal.
I think that's it. They're teasing and they're showing me that older dog senses when spirits are around. It might track something like looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
She does do that.
And then they're showing me, you guys need to get, I don't know if you had a professional come out and fix, like, it's like a doorbell's not working. The alarm system's not
working. Oh my God. Yes. Like 2 days ago.
Yeah. They're showing me this and they're just trying to confirm in your mind and heart, like I couldn't know this, right? But they're with you. That's why they're saying this. And when I say they, it's all these spirits who have popped in to say hello, but most importantly are your guides. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. That's reading. And the truth is you don't have a lot of drama, which is so good.
No, we've done a lot of work to try to protect our space and keep it very like serene and intentional and conscious.
I can tell it's good. Whatever you're doing, keep doing.
Thank you. That was so incredible. And like anyone listening, how on earth would you know that I had my doorbells fixed 2 days ago? That is crazy. That is so wild. So I guess piggybacking off of that incredible experience, we have these guides and these angels always with us, like waiting for us to ask for help. How is it that we can, I guess, like remind ourselves that's an option to like to pray, to ask for help, to ask for guidance, to ask for signs, to ask for dreams?
Right.
What's a good way to keep that alive?
Well, I mean, this is very like simple and earthly, but something I did in my early days is I would just get a sticky note and put it on the side of my bed. And I would just say, remember to ask or thank you, dear spirit, for ... You know, whatever you need to do to jog your conscious mind and your memory, just ask, however that is. For me, it's become just a habit. Before I even lift my head off the pillow, what I do and what I suggest to my clients to do is take 5 seconds, okay, or up to 5 to 10 minutes. And just lie there and say, divine spirit, God, guides, angels, departed loved ones, whatever you want to say, okay? From your heart, you don't even have to say it out loud. just feel it and think it out. And just say, I invite you into this day. Help me have a day of grace, ease, joy, flow. Show up. Show me signs. Bring me synchronicities, miracles. Thank you for, and then put out what you need, your intentions. That's it. It's that simple.
I love that it's simple and it's not like this elaborate thing that you have to do this dance and beat a drum and then sacrifice a chicken or whatever it is. It's like, no, you can ask for help. And there, some people are really focused on numerology and they'll say that their angel numbers show up. Some people, like you were mentioning, have really vivid dreams. And we've been in this space of exploring psychedelics and doing retreats and starting this foundation around that. And I haven't done a lot at all. Like, that's more my husband's gate. I'm much more reserved. So it takes a lot for me to be able to release and surrender to those experiences. But even when I'm just doing mentoring and then I'll have dreams, it's almost like these releases happen within that space and I'll have the equivalent of the most psychedelic trip you've ever had just while I'm sleeping. And I wake up and I remember everything. So it's like understanding, I think, what like tools and modalities are showing up for you in like the spirit realm.
Exactly. Spirit meets you where you're at. And so we're all at different places, what I call the yellow brick road. And there's no like better or worse. Okay. It's kind of like when you're in grades K through 12, third grade isn't worse than 10th grade. It's just the natural progression. And so for people who are really open, like you, who are intentional, who are doing the work on a mind, body, spirit level, are going to have opportunities to have these amazing greater experiences. Okay. And so if somebody's listening to this right now and they're like, wow, I really want trippy dreams or visitations from my dead loved ones and dreams, you can have it. The fact you're listening says that you're ready for it. Spirit is suggesting that you invite it in. And for some, it's going to be through meditation. We all find spirit in the ways that are available to us based on our level of evolution. Okay. And so for some, you know, all of this, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be super simple. Like a lot of people say to me, I don't know how to meditate. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no right or wrong way. And it's not a one size fits all. So for some people, it's go for a walk. Just get outside, set the intention to be present, listen to your music, maybe listen to music, probably not, try and find stillness and just walk. And that can be a moving meditation. So again, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Do you have advice for anyone who struggles with that stillness? Because I find that there's this quote and it's, if you want patience, God's not going to give you patience, but he's going to give you an opportunity to develop patience if you want, like a brain, and you apply that like to abundance, etc. So if you want to be in this place of self-acceptance, self-love, wholeness, then you're provided through opportunity. You're not just granted this thing. So oftentimes when you're presented with these opportunities where you have nothing going on for the entire month, right? All your projects kind of came to a halt. There's no one celebrating. There's no activities. There's no travel. And you're like, man, this sucks. Nothing's happening this month. And you're like, no, this is everything telling you to be still and to like go inward and maybe journal and maybe read and maybe just go out in nature. But there's this real resistance to just being.
Oh my gosh, I know. For me especially, my guides always sign out when I talk to them. I do automatic writing and they download this information where I either type it on the computer or journal, and they always sign off with just be. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that has been such a work in progress for me. And I know for so many people I work with, because the human mind and the ego, we're wired to do. Okay. Just being is really, I think, a challenge for a lot of us, because we don't equate that with being productive or successful. And honestly, it's like we have to be able to be present and still, because our point of power is in the now moment. And that is just being. And that's where the magic happens, because that's where we can tap into our intuition and spirit. And just being allows us to download that creative genius, our own higher self, our intuition, and the downloads like I just did for you, and the psychic guidance, the readings. And so you said something really interesting, like if you want patience, God doesn't just give you patience. God gives you a situation to test you in learning how to develop patience, mm-hmm. right? Well, in my latest book, What's Your Heaven, I just wrote a chapter on this because we are here in Earth School and we all signed up for certain lessons we are here to learn. And one of the chapters is I am here to heal and contribute. And it's all about, we have to go through sometimes situations that we would label as challenging or bad. Let's say it's a health issue. And a lot of times what happens is we go through that lesson so that we can be a guinea pig and have street credibility saying, no, I walked the walk. And now you can go pay it forward in service to others based on learning whatever that lesson was. Mm-hmm. And so it takes us out of a victim mentality. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you, right? And you reframe it and you're like, oh, so I actually wanted to learn patience. And so I had this very frustrating situation and I reframed it to, wait, no, here's an opportunity for me to exercise patience and have compassion. And then, you know, you either pass the test or you don't. But what Spirit has taught me is you really want to try and do the work and get it right, because it will keep circling back around and around. And each time it does, it starts out as a whisper and it eventually becomes a giant roar. And yes. That's where those giant wake-up calls happen. And we don't need to learn with pain and struggle, right? We can do it with ease and grace.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I've had my own instances in my life where you have this knowing, this internal knowing, but you're like, no, I'm not going to listen to that. That's just paranoia. Or that's just my self-doubt, or that's whatever you chalk it up to. And then whatever it is, it gets louder and louder and louder until you cannot ignore it anymore. And then you can either decide to live with a lot of discomfort, a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, or you could say, hey, maybe I'm not making the right decisions. Maybe I've veered off of my path a little bit far and I need to recalibrate.
Exactly. You know, and every day is a chance to do it again. And, mm-hmm. you know, as long as we don't enslave ourselves with all this, you know, judgment, and I think we are our own worst critics and we work against ourselves a lot of times. If we can pull back, and that's that just being, get out of your mind, get out of your ego, attachments, judgments, all of that, and really just be and show up each day with it, seeing it as a gift and a new opportunity to redo or recreate, do it better. That's why we're here. We're here to grow and evolve. And we're perfectly imperfect. We're not meant to be perfect, mm-hmm. right? It's okay if we don't get it right. But the whole idea is to learn from your mistakes and try and do and be better each moment, each day.
So what's your interpretation of the ego? Like, what is the ego?
You know, I once heard Wayne Dyer say, ego is edging God out. And that is the best way I can describe it. Ego is that part of our personality. It's the frightened part of our personality. That part of us that is separate from a divine source. So I believe we are all a spark of the divine, okay, physically focused in a human body. And we are all connected through that divine spark. And you can call it God, goddess energy. You can call it divine spirit, creator, supreme being. There's all these names, right? Mm-hmm. But it's eternal love and light. That's what it is. And love doesn't die. Energy doesn't die. It just changes form. So whether it's focused in a body or it's in the spirit world, that is the essence of a soul. Okay. And so the ego is the part of our personality that comes into this body. And the ego is not bad when in balance. The ego combined with the soul is exactly what we need, because our ego allows us to be individual. It allows us to have preferences. It allows us to have a personality and to accomplish what we came here to do, our unique contribution to the world. And so when the ego's in check and it's in a healthy place and connected to something bigger, your higher self and divine spirit, that's where you want to be. But the problem is when you are solely showing up each day operating from ego, edging God out, you're unplugged, disconnected. A lot of times our tendency is we choose to make choices from the frequency of shadow, okay? So we either make choices from shadow or from light. And light mm-hmm. is when we are plugged in to what I was just saying, this higher, our higher selves, the divine spark and divine spirit. Shadow is the ego. That's the wounded part of ourselves that we are here to heal. Okay. And so when we are alone and trying to figure out life and do life solely through our ego, we're limited. But mm-hmm. when we plug into our higher selves, we have what I call it's team spirit available. It's a co-creative dance. And life becomes magical because spirit can see five steps ahead, mm-hmm. right? And can divine intervention. That's why I was mm-hmm. saying, invite in divine guidance. Start your day by saying humbly, like, yes, I choose to show up in my body with an ego, but as a co-creative effort with divine spirit, with my team and spirit. That's a powerful place to be.
So I feel like when it comes to ego, it's very easy for almost anyone to see the traditional, like, enlarged, inflamed ego and someone acting out of that space. Like, it's, you know, that very stereotypical type of behavior or like energy that you're approaching tasks and conquering and climbing and taking. But when I think there's this new ego or this new expression of ego that's coming out, which is what Jamie Wheel calls the super ego. And it's a lot of people that are taking psychedelics every weekend. It's a lot of people that are very deep in the spiritual world and they are saying, I have seen God. So now I know more than you. I have transcended my ego. I've had enough ego deaths. I really despise that term because if you have a body, you have an ego. And I have had so many ego deaths that now I am somehow vibrating at a different level and I know everything. I am God. Like, you'll hear a lot of people say that. And sure, it's like true but partial, right? There's some part of that. You did come from God. You did come right. from source, right? There is that in you, but you are not God. So you have to be able to discern that. And I think that there becomes that delusion. And that one's a trickier one to find because we haven't seen that in the movies. We are not really, like, it's this very new movement that's happening. So it's mm-hmm. how do you know if you are in a place of alignment and you aren't acting out of ego when you are in this, like, spiritual culture and cycle?
Right. You know, anyone who's truly not being run by their ego is not in competition, is not in judgment, is not better than. Okay. That's all ego. And there's a lot of what I've noticed, a lot of spiritual leaders who tend to program people, they become mm-hmm. the guru mm-hmm. and they know better than, and then they create this following where they want to be worshiped and bowed down to. And, you know, they program people. This is the way. And that's right. very scary and it's very unhealthy because, mm-hmm. you know, our job as spiritual teachers and leaders is to empower others to go within and trust their own innate wisdom, be your own guru. Okay. Mm-hmm. I always say I am here as a guide to show you what it looks like and how to do this, but always gut check what I offer because it may not resonate. Take what works, leave the rest. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so anytime someone is in this role of telling you like how it should be, or in judgment of right, wrong, good, bad, this way, that way. Okay, that is a huge red flag. We all are a spark of the divine. Okay, and it doesn't mean that somebody doing that didn't find God, but there's many paths, one truth, meaning their way may not be the way for someone else to find something bigger and connect mm-hmm. to source or God. Mm-hmm. We all have our own unique way. And so, yeah, you do see a lot of that kind of a power trip, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's just, again, a huge red flag. If I saw that, that would be the last person I would follow, mm-hmm. you know, that's where it becomes brainwashing and almost like cult-like.
Yeah, they always end up in a sex cult. It always ends at Waco. You know? Like, you have someone who maybe has so much brilliance and then all of a sudden it gets real weird and inappropriate.
Well, they're abusing their power. And there's a lot of gifted teachers, healers, you know, that really do have a gift. Mm-hmm. But it's becoming about them. Mm-hmm. A real guru is someone who's humble and doesn't need to talk about it. And just walks the talk, right? Mm-hmm. And genuinely wants to help others and empower others to be their best selves. rather than force feed them the way, their way. Okay. It needs to like boast about it. I mean, I think we all know what that ego looks like.
So what's the role of compassion? Because I feel like it's been weaponized a lot, like in the last few years. It's almost, it's like part of some people's artillery, or it's like sometimes compassion is putting a horse down, right? And that's like the compassionate thing to do. It's not to prolong that horse's life, because you know it's not going to heal. So like it's shitty and it's going to make you feel terrible. And obviously you're killing the horse, but it is the best and the right thing to do. So I use that in comparison to people, because it's like sometimes I feel like there is a brutal honesty that needs to happen, almost like a painful honesty, or pointing out, like, especially if you're in a place of a teacher or a leader or a guru. And then a lot of these spaces, I see just like so much coddling and so much enabling and so much like people that are so, I guess, identified with their pain that they now, like, they can't not be healing. Because if they're not healing, then who am I? So I constantly have to be in this perpetual state of healing. And then you have someone who likes the attention and they like the stage. So they're like, okay, well, then if you always want to be a student, then I'll be here for all of those pains and all of those traumas, especially like tiny low T traumas that aren't really traumas, if you ask me. And there's not enough people in the space that are just saying, like, get your shit together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that brutal, like putting the horse down, like this is the most compassionate thing. Like this truth, like you need to hear this truth about yourself so that you can introspect and transcend and elevate, not the enabling coddling that I see a lot.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I love so much that you just said all this. So this is honestly, this is okay. Anybody who works with me knows, like, I am very loving and kind, but I am super direct. And only because I had the pattern of enabling in my personal relationships, and it was very disempowering, and spirit woke me up and I realized, okay, what you have to do is really take accountability for your life and not be a victim. And, you know, the book I just wrote, What's Your Heaven? It's all about, we're in earth school, and that means we have homework. And is it always fun or easy? No. Life is messy. And sometimes we have to do the hard things, but that is where our brilliance comes. That's where our growth and evolution comes. When we find the courage to take accountability for our choices and to show up and to do the work. You know, there's no magic pill. I wish there was. We all wish there was, but there's not. It really comes down to looking at, okay, what are my lessons? Not why is this happening to me, but what is this here to teach me? And how do I heal? How do I find balance in this? Rather than staying stuck in our stories, right? The false narratives either we've told ourselves, and that becomes our little t dramas and traumas, or that have been passed down to us from our generations above us, you know, our parents, our grandparents. And so it's really taking your power back and doing the work, whatever that is. So when I do readings, spirit comes forward. Now they meet you where you're at, but most people who find me are ready to know the truth. Okay. Whether it's, yeah, your husband is having an affair. You've always sensed it. You're too afraid to look at it and you need to know, you know, or yeah, you are screwing up your kid because you're helicopter parenting and not letting them live their life. You know, they will tell you what you need to know so that you can, but the spirit always does it in a way with love, no judgment. Okay. And love and I guess it's tender loving care, TLC, right? In a way that you can hear it. But then, okay, I'm going to hold your hand and let's walk you through how you can change this. How you can rise up and out of the struggle or the fight or the victim or whatever you're, what's going on. So, yeah.
No, that's amazing. I wanted to ask, so there was, you have, it's part of your book where you kind of do an assessment of your relationships, and it's like an audit of sorts. And I ask this because I feel like the more work I do, the more difficult it is to maintain certain friendships and relationships. It's just, it takes so much more effort. my perspective is so different that it's hard to connect or hard to relate. And especially if it comes to something like scarcity, people that have like real finite perspective on resources and energy and money. And nothing irks me more. I'm like, you're choosing that. And I don't know why you're so committed to live in a space of scarcity mm-hmm. when, you know, the universe is so abundant. So how can I audit my relationships to see where I'm at?
Yeah. So I created this list, and whether you do it with yourself individually, it's basically a life review of before you die and you're forced to take a life review because you still have a chance to correct maybe things that aren't working. So whether it's with yourself or with someone else, and it could be somebody on their deathbed, it could be you're in a friendship, and you know, a lot of times we outgrow our friendships, our love romantic relationships, because one of us is doing the work to grow and evolve and the other one's not. And mm-hmm. so the one who's not, it's not their fault. It's that we are changing. They are not. And mm-hmm. that's where you don't want to shrink down to fit in and match them. You want to rise up and shine. Amen. And you want to do so with the intention to be the light, be the example for mm-hmm. those around you. And either your friends, your partners will be inspired by that and start to do the work and rise up and match you, or they won't. And what happens then is the universe decides it for you. They fall out of your life. You have an organic breakup of some sort, mm-hmm. okay, or a death perhaps. And it can be really scary and uncomfortable. But what you have to remember is that the law of attraction, okay, you will find your people. And the universe will bring those right new relationships to you that match the frequency you're in. Mm-hmm. And so it can be uncomfortable to the ego. It's like an ego death of releasing the people, the situations. But if your consciousness, for example, is in abundance consciousness and you have family members or friends who are still in scarcity consciousness, mm-hmm. you're going to be on two different wavelengths. You're just not going to match up. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay. Like, give it to God, give it to your guide, send them love, and then let it be. Don't try and force the friendship. It's like trying to put on an old pair of jeans that are too tight and you've outgrown. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Go buy a bigger size of jeans if that's what you need. You know, like, allow yourself to expand and grow and fly, to soar this higher frequency, because that's what we're here to do.
Do you have like a technique or a meditation or just a path for people to be able to pull a root out of something that is like an embedded narrative that we have? And scarcity is a great example because I think a lot of people can relate to that. Just, I still struggle with it sometimes. It's something I have to actively choose not to fall into, which is why mm-hmm. I get so triggered when I'm around people like that, because it's very easy for me to automatically go back into those negative thoughts because that was my programming growing up. So I do a lot of work to try to remain open and abundant and like think that there's enough pie for everybody instead of like, they're taking my likes, like shut up, like to my little head, like the little voice in my head, like shut up. So how, and I have meditated, I've done work, I've done psychedelics, and there's still this lingering scarcity. So how the F do I take the root out?
Yeah. You know, I think intention is number one, because energy mm-hmm. follows intention, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did create a program in this book. I call it Change It, Run It, Tap It. And Change It is, it's all about flipping the false belief. So from the negative to the affirmative. Okay. So from the false beliefs that either you created from illusion, delusion, or that you adopted from your ancestors, to your soul truth. Okay, that knowing that you are abundant. So you have to then, it's almost like affirmations. So mm-hmm. you could take like, I am, let's say worthiness is your issue. Okay, so I am unworthy, I'm not enough, to I am so worthy and deserving. I am more than enough. I am enough for just being born. And so you have to then start canceling the negative, every time you see it coming back into, whether it's conscious or unconscious, cancel, and flip it and affirm, whether you say it out loud, you write it down, okay? But affirmations alone, I don't think work. So you have to be able to integrate that. And so what I've been doing for years with my energy healer is we run energy, and that's using the frequency of colors, okay? Every color vibrates at a different frequency. And so, you know, violet light is transmutive. It changes negative energy to positive. Or gold light is about divine truth and all love. And so you can, with your affirmations, combined with visualizing, meditating on certain colors and running it through your system. And so change it, run it. And the third part is tap it, emotional freedom technique. Okay, so you're using the art of tapping to hit those acupressure points in your body to integrate the new beliefs. So you're releasing emotional toxins, okay, and those false beliefs as you run through the tapping. So you can do one of those things. You can do all of those things. And this book actually has a QR code for free meditations and videos on this exact stuff. So if anyone's amazing, like, I don't know where to start, 5 minutes a day, okay, and check this out, and I walk you through it, and it's that simple. You're changing your energy. You're changing your vibration, okay? And that right there is going to, over time, repetition. Do it for 30 days, 60 days to reprogram, reset. You will have pulled out that root, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's really, that's what I'm talking about. It is work, but it's easy. It's 5 minutes a day, and it sets the tone for the rest of your day. So it is worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds, I love that there's something actionable to do, because again, it's something that I've been really working on personally, and I know probably a lot of other people can resonate with. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and it works. I'm telling you, like, cause even I'm not immune to any of this. I have my own baggage, my own homework, and I do it. And then sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, why haven't I been tapping? Why haven't I been doing my own program? And then I go do it. And I'm like, wow, I feel really different. So, but again, what I always like to remind people, take what works, leave the rest. Mm-hmm. Something I said may have really resonated and something else not so much, then that's your guidance. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because you want to find what resonates, because that means that's what you need right now and that will work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. When it comes to like intergenerational trauma or even past life karma for people that believe in that, how much of it is necessary to try to figure out? Because I have this theory that we forget for a reason. Like, I don't think that that's a mistake. I think some people are able to maybe tap into it much easier, or like they say that they remember all of their past lives and it's not even taking energy. It's just there. It's just like a memory. But then you have people that are focused so hard on like recovering past lives and trying to figure out whatever their karmic debt is. And I almost feel like it's a way to avoid what's currently happening in this life and like this in this incarnation. So like, how necessary is it or at all to go back and look at past life trauma or karma, or are we supposed to kind of be focused on the here and now?
You know, I think it's useful when it's relevant to your current day situation. And so when I do readings, I'll ask spirit, show me what this person is ready to hear, needs to hear. Mm-hmm. And it's the only information that ever comes through is exactly what you're ready for. And sometimes we do talk about past life stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't. It depends on, okay, we've lived hundreds, if not tens of thousands of past lives. So when you dip into past life regression, whether you do it with a professional or you do it on your own, you will be taken to the life that's relevant to the homework or the lesson you're working on now in this life. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, it's good. It's going to, knowledge is power. Okay. And if you can have your aha moment, like, oh my gosh, the reason I have eating disorders is because I starved to death in my last life. That's going to bring you this new awareness and compassion for yourself, and healing can happen because you can connect the dots on some of the, you know, unconscious patterns and behaviors that we find ourselves in. I think it's really good when it comes to intergenerational things that have been passed down to you, when you are able to get information, okay, about, let's say, a family pattern. Let's say there's a line of alcoholics in your family, and you are waking up and in recovery, okay? And you need information on, I sit down with you and we do a reading, and your great-grandfather comes through apologizing for starting this pattern of numbing and checking out and this dysfunctional family pattern passed down to your father and now to you, there's healing in that. Okay. And then you have an opportunity to break the chain of dysfunction and you can heal generations forwards and backwards mm-hmm. by having the courage to get the information you need to make peace with yourself and to move forward, break that pattern. So again, a lot of times it's healthy. Now, to your point, a lot of times we get obsessed and that's the human part, the ego, where we just can't shake it. We get kind of brought down into a downward spiral where we get almost paralyzed by it. Mm-hmm. That's very disempowering. Mm-hmm. And that's where you need to focus forward because whatever you focus on expands. So if you're focused on the past and stuck in the past and reliving it, you go into victim. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can evolve past that. So sometimes you just have to acknowledge it, not spiritually bypass it. You've mm-hmm. done your work. You've looked at it. And then you let it go. Give it to God. Ask to cut the cords. Sometimes there's shamanic, you know, healings you can do to really, and that's why I think a lot of people do ayahuasca to journey into it and to heal it and release it. Mm-hmm. And then focus forward. And decide what you want to move into and put your energy towards co-creating what's next.
Mm-hmm. I have two follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. So what is the reason that we forget or that isn't available unless we're actively trying to have a breakthrough? And then why can't people see the future? Because if we know that time's not linear, pretty much all of science kind of agrees that if it exists at all, right, it's not linear. So if everything's kind of happening simultaneously, how come we can't see future incarnations?
So sometimes we can, okay? And okay. It just depends where you're at. You know, I talk about soul contracts in the book, and we talk about before you're born, you prearrange to have these certain lessons and experiences and encounters you're going to have during the course of your lifetime. And it's almost like the what and the why are set. What's going to happen and the why behind it, okay? But the when, where, how, who, that's subject to change based on free will. So sometimes when I do readings, I will get access to future timelines and be able to predict things. And if you go with the flow and don't interfere and let your ego control, these things play out. I can't tell you how many tens of thousands of people have said, oh my God, you predicted a baby on this day and a half. Because that was part of your soul contract and it was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But you have the power to interfere for better or for worse. If you don't like it, change it. Sometimes we work against ourselves and we over control and we change it, but we didn't really mean to change it and things don't play out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So can we access the future? Yes. But again, remember, it's only a probability or a likelihood based on your free will and the free will of other people involved. Okay. That's why we don't want to get too attached.
So like any other contract, there's terms, there's conditions, there's null and like the voiding of contracts. So when you have this contract, let's say with a baby on the other side, like a spirit on the other side, I guess like what makes that change? So I can't like tell a story too much because it's not mine to tell. But if you have this couple that's like really trying to conceive and they say that they have met the soul of their child, but it's just not coming in and it's not coming into like the 3D, but they're just there waiting for the perfect opportunity. Or maybe there's one and then all of a sudden it voids out and now there is no baby that happens. Is there anything that is like triggering those things, like the decision to come in and experience life or the decision to skip and not have the human experience?
Yeah. So, you know, we always have the opportunity to renegotiate our contracts. And sometimes like we bite off more than we can chew. We're like, oh my God, what was I thinking? I must have been on drugs when I planned this life before I was born because this is just way too much, right? And so you may, whether it's consciously or unconsciously in your dream state, reconnect with your team of guides, your counsel and spirit, and say, I need to renegotiate this. And I can't handle another baby. I'm in over my head with my two kids already. And you may not be conscious of that, but then you're because of the shoulds, like we should try and get pregnant. We should have another. Everyone in my family had three kids, but it doesn't happen. And you have to trust there's a reason. So whether that's because of you or because of people around you or the soul and spirit who's saying, you know what, I've rethought this. I'm not going to come in because I see how things are going down there. And I don't think I would add. I think I would take away from this equation. So it's very complicated because it's not just about us. It's about everyone we're in relationship with and their soul contracts. Okay. So I'll use myself as an example. I had two boys and then I got divorced and then I got remarried. But when in my first marriage and in my second marriage, I had over the course of about 10 years, I had probably a dozen psychic readings with other people. Every single one told me I was having another baby and I was having a girl. And my ego is like, no, you are so wrong. You're so off, until it happened. And it was a miracle. I did not plan for this baby. My husband had a vasectomy 10 years before. It reversed itself. And I was 5 months pregnant and I didn't even know it.
Oh my gosh.
I was working with my doctor on hormonal imbalance and we thought, oh, my cycle's off. Turns out I was pregnant and this little girl came in because wow. Her soul told me in a meditation, her guide said, no, we agreed this. She had to come in. She has a big purpose to bring a lot of joy. And so I wasn't cooperating. My ego was resisting. So spirit basically got us out of the way, worked its magic literally on my husband. And this beautiful gift, I mean, the greatest gift, miracle ever happened. And so that was part of my soul contract. And so there's a lot of times things happen that don't add up on a mind level, but on a soul level, we know. And the beauty is we can always access that soul knowing, whether it's on our own through our dreams and meditations or through someone else, like getting a reading or doing hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that, let's say their preferred modality is psychedelics, and then that's where they go to play and to ask questions and to get creative downloads or make life decisions, but like that is the lane that feels in alignment with them. How do you know, and I don't know if that's a space that you partake in or are familiar with, so like please tell me if it's not your gate.
This is not where I work. I'm familiar mm-hmm. with it. I personally have never done it because I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I have like this satellite connection. I don't really need it, but I'm totally open to it. I think if some people need it to access that part of their consciousness, by all means, do it if it resonates for you, right?
So how do you discern though between what is that pure energy, like pure ayahuasca coming in and giving you downloads and divinity versus maybe a mischievous?
Yes. Oh, I love that you asked this question. So even if you're not using psychedelics, even if you're just engaging in recreational drinking or any type of drug, you're vulnerable. You open mm-hmm. your energy up to anything. And before I do any work, I say a prayer and I connect into the light, divine spirit, okay, source energy. Because if you don't, you can be hijacked by shapeshifters, okay? Energy posing to be light, but it's really darkness. Entities that truly are drawn to those who are vulnerable, those who have let their defenses down through, you know, drugs or a lot of the times this happens just without drugs, with people who have mental imbalance.
I was just going to ask, because it seems that certain people, especially as people with schizophrenia, mm-hmm. that they tend to have access to or attract more
they do.
Entities.
Mm-hmm. They do. And because their defenses are down, there's, in a sense, I always imagine like a big giant bubble around me of protection. But when mm-hmm. you get vulnerable and you're tired or you're drinking or doing drugs, there's holes in your bubble. And that's where the dark energies can get in, but be posers, like posing as light. So you always want to say, are you of the light? Are you of divine light? Are you of source energy? And then if it's not, it will go away. And so you just say, I'm only in agreement with the light. I only work with source. Okay, mm-hmm. whatever you want to say, but it's about light and love. And if it's anything less than that, get out of here. Okay, mm-hmm. You always have that power, but you have to be consciously aware. So if you're going to engage in ayahuasca, you want to make sure you're doing it with a professional, somebody who knows what they're doing. You want to make sure that you personally have set up your boundaries and you're clear on you're only going to work of that which is of pure light and love, you know, divine spirit. And you should be fine.
Yeah, because I've seen some people that have made some pretty big decisions, and I've never partaken in ayahuasca. I have no interest whatsoever. It is just not for me, and I know that. But I've seen people make huge decisions, and I was like, I don't know if that was the divine energy telling you to do that, or that seems like something else. Like it very, and I've shared it with some other professionals and like spiritual leaders and like OG psychonauts, and they are like, whoa, no, that's something more nefarious happening. And they just took it as something
I know
that they were supposed to do. And that's so scary.
It is. It is. And so you have to be very discerning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Be open, but discerning, and mm-hmm. always gut check it. If it mm-hmm. feels off, if it doesn't add up, trust that that is your guidance. Something is not of purity, of not of light, not mm-hmm. of truth. And so that happens. It happens, unfortunately, a lot more than we realize. So I guess whatever you're doing, always pray first and call in the light and set those boundaries. And if you do that, then you are in the light. You don't need to worry. But if you don't do that, it's like playing with fire.
So I guess to continue on with this, because I just find it so fascinating, there's a family member of mine that is a magnet for like very dark, heavy energy and like intelligent energy. I'm not talking like, ooh, I get a bad vibe. I mean, like, and this is going to sound crazy for some people, but my husband has also been there for this. Like, things show up in the house. Like, you can see things moving, like, the bed will move, like, if things you cannot deny. And like, it's not good. It's not like something playful. Like, it's just cold and not good. And I don't know what to do, because it's like someone who's very close to me, and there is some mental illness there. So I think that that's maybe part of what is happening. But how do you get to a place where you can protect your home, protect your immediate family, and still let that person in? Because whatever is with them is coming with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear you. I have a similar situation in my family, and mental health issues run in my family. And they are a magnet for dark energies and entities. And so here's what I do, and what I would suggest is that before I'm going to be with them, after they leave, I call in God's light. Okay. I fill my home with gold. I imagine the walls flooded with gold light. I call in Archangel Michael. I call in all the angels that are there as protectors, Archangel Metatron. These are really powerful beings that will release darkness, cut cords. But what happens is, when you call this energy in, especially before, or when you're in the presence of that person and you're feeling it and seeing it, just you don't have to close your eyes. You can be looking at them, but imagine this gold flooding and putting almost like a golden dome around your house, around you, protecting you. What happens is they get so uncomfortable, they leave, or they don't come at all. I remember we're going to have a party, and there was someone that was very dark and I didn't want there. And they had RSVP'd they're coming, and I did this and they didn't show up. And so the universe will protect you, because what happens is that dark entity energy doesn't like the light. It's like the minute you call in the light, it flees. Okay. Because it can't be in the same presence of God. So you always have the power to counteract that. And I think the biggest thing is not to talk yourself out of it and say, oh my gosh, I'm just being crazy, or I'm being judgmental, or I should be more compassionate. No, that's your protection. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that energy around you in your house. And unfortunately, you know, there's been so much suicide lately. And what's happening is, whether the person's mentally ill or they're just using drugs and alcohol and they're vulnerable, dark entities get in their head and they talk them into doing dark things that are irreversible, such as taking their life. Okay. So this is not to be, you know, played around with. It's to be like really handled and dealt with. Does that help?
Yeah, that's super helpful. That's really helpful.
And it really works. Put it to the test.
It's interesting that you say that, because I've had friends that have not like necessarily made the attempt, but it was there, right? Like, the thought was there, and they were sharing their experience. And she said that it felt like all of a sudden she got these thoughts that weren't hers, and like these like she had this like this drive to like pick up a knife and to end her life. And she had it, she wasn't depressed. Like it kind of came out of nowhere and it was like overtaking her. And I'm like, that it goes against every cell of evolutionary biology to kill yourself, right? Like we're every living thing is wired to replicate. Right. So to end your life, it just seems like it's going against nature itself. So something else is at play in my mind. And that seems spot on.
Yeah, no, it's very real. My father died by suicide and my grandmother, and I've had many friends and friends who have family members who have died by suicide. And every time I channel, they say that it's like having the devil and the angel on their shoulder. And when they're vulnerable, the devil is telling them to do bad things to themselves or to others. Mm-hmm. And it's not them. Mm. Okay. It's the entity energy working on them and through them. And it's really important that when that, you know, we recognize that happening, if we're lucky enough to not act on it, to get the help you need, because sometimes you can't clear it. Find an energy healer, an exorcist, like figure out, pray about it, ask spirit, you know, for sure, call in your angels, guides, Archangel Michael, but also it's okay to reach out. That's why I see a healer once a week. I work mm-hmm. with so much of this. It's normal for me to recognize dark energy, but I'm not afraid of it. I just won't work with it. And so I'm like, nope, you're out of here. So if I can't clear it, I have a healer who does. Because I have had that same experience your friend had. I had it years ago after a large event. It was a young man who took his life. He followed me home from the event. I went to my hotel room. I was crawling out of my skin. This was the time I was married to my first husband. He's like, I've never seen you're like possessed. I'm like, I am. Like I was just cursing and I got clear. I called my healer and she's like, oh my God. She described the guy to a T, the last guy I read. He was on me, in me, trying to possess me. And so I had to clear him. And it happens to everybody if, you know, I wouldn't say it happens to everybody. It can happen. It can to anybody. Mm-hmm. And the key is to not be afraid of it, to be very like clear on your boundaries and to command it gone, demand your energy back. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's how sometimes though, for those who are mentally ill, it requires professional care. It requires medication to be in a balanced, good state. And mm-hmm. so it's to not be afraid to ask for that help.
Yeah, it's important to note, yeah, like use all of the tools available to you, right? Like they're here for a reason. When it comes to schizophrenia specifically, what I've found so interesting is in a lot of indigenous communities is if someone has symptoms that look like what we would call schizophrenia, is they take that person and they end up being like the shaman of that tribe. So it's not like cast away into this facility. It's not like medicated. It's they see it as a direct portal to the divine. And that person undergoes like training essentially and becomes like the medicine man or the shaman of the tribe, which I think is so fascinating.
Wow. That really is. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I guess before we go, I guess what is like the biggest thing that you have learned from all of your work is when you're working with like spirits and people that have passed? I think we live so much of our lives based off of avoidance of pain and fear and competition and all of these things. And it's like, if I could have known then what I know now, and like they're on the other side. So like, what is the thing that they know now that they wish that we know now?
Yeah. Oh God, I could talk for an hour just on that. so many things, but the most common, it's that when we die, we don't have pockets. We're not taking our things that we accumulated, our portfolios, our bank accounts, the credentials we earned, you know, that all goes away. The only thing that survives is love. And in that love is our worth, okay? And our worth is not based on anything external. It's based on the amount of light we held. So that means how we showed up in honor, kindness, compassion, love, generosity to ourselves, but to others, how we were able to be a vessel of that and then share that with others, okay? So I think we need to do a lot more work. We work so hard on the physical, external things. We need to do a lot more work on our internal nature, right? And some of this comes back to just being. And what I mean by that is stop working so hard in effort, struggling. Like, try and find the joy in the little things. Be present. Be kind. Be still. Okay? Show up to your life and just be there. So many of us are future tripping or stuck in the regrets or shame or blame of the past, that we're angry and we're resentful and we're not present. And really, if you can truly let all that go and forgive, I think forgiveness is another big one, and not be a victim and say, no, this is not that it happened to me. It was an opportunity for me. And did I learn my lessons? And how do I make peace? And how do I let it go so that I can be still and I can be present? So I think all of that is usually what I hear in every single reading I do at least once. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, whether you're alive or you're dead, you can, and this is the book, you can be living in a living hell, or you can be living your heaven on earth. You don't have to wait till we die. But we have got to release the baggage we're carrying, which is, you know, all the unhealed, unfinished business, whether it's in relationships or with ourselves, in order to feel the feelings of heaven. Because heaven, what spirit tells me is heaven isn't a place. It's a feeling. It's a vibration, right? So the feelings we were just talking about of kindness, compassion, love, you know, oneness, unity, that is heaven. And that's what we're meant to feel now. And so I would just encourage people, what does that look like for you? And maybe it's you start simple and you're like, every day I'm going to take 5 minutes for me and I'm going to go out in nature because nature makes me happy. Or I'm going to go play with my dog or my grandchild, or I'm going to go for a walk with my beloved someone. Okay. You want to find those feelings that feel like connection and oneness and love and peace and joy.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for this conversation. Before we sign off, can you please tell the listeners where they can follow you, where they can get your book, any projects that you might be working on currently, all that good stuff?
Yes. I would love it. My website's RebeccaRosen.com. Everything they need is there. My social media handle is at Medium, Rebecca Rosen. And I have a podcast called Small Medium at Large. And the book is What's Your Heaven? You can get it on Amazon. Any major, you know, book retailer has it. And I would encourage people to check it out because I have a lot of free resources, meditations and videos. And I also have a quiz that on my website that if people are trying to figure out, okay, what is my life's purpose? Why am I here? You know, maybe check that out as well.
I love a good quiz. So I'll be doing that as soon as we sign off.
I love it.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. This was wonderful.
This was. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this week's episode of Chatting with Candace. If you liked the episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can do it more than once if it's been a while. And share it with a friend or two, family member, social media, anyone that you think would really resonate with this content. And I appreciate all of you. Again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. It's really cool to see this thing taking off. And I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.